Hello, everybody.
Hello, James.
Can you hear me, everybody? All right. All right. I apologize in advance if I start coughing or anything because I've been sick the last few days. But as a third-century man was anticipating death, he penned these last words to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I've discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them. As I was young, growing up, we would always be here at Curtis Gospel Chapel every once in a while, especially for every year when they had the preachers come in. And for the conference. And there's something Mr. Fitzgerald would always tell me and exhort me to do. And he would tell me, count it all joy, brother. Count it all joy. And it was kind of ironic because my name's James. And that's the opening words, second verse of the book of James. But it really got me thinking, what does it mean to count it all joy? What does it really mean? And so I'd like to read that passage to you, and I would like to discuss that. What does it mean to count it all joy? So if you could turn with me to James 1:1, the very beginning. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. A quote from Dr. David Jeremiah says this: men have pursued joy in every avenue imaginable. Some have successfully found it, while others have not. Perhaps it would be easier to describe where joy cannot be found. It is not found in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, "I wish I would have never been born." It's not found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." It's not found in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth." Not in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." Not in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent before he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Where then is real joy found? The answer is simple: in Christ alone. This joy is not a silly, superficial, bubbly kind of joy, as Foster writes, Richard Foster, like that flaunted in modern society. But it's a deep, resonant joy that has been shaped and tempered by the fires of suffering and sorrow. Joy through the cross, joy because of the cross. So how do we get this immeasurable joy that causes us to overcome the trials in our life? Well, first, Word of God. Right here. Hebrews 4:12 says it's sharp like a two-edged sword that can cut and divide the soul and spirit. And that is truly what this word is. If you could turn to Jeremiah 15:16 for me. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And furthermore, in 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John was exhorting the believers, reminding them of all the things that they had experienced firsthand when Jesus was here on earth. And he wrote it down in this word right here for us to know, that our joy may be full. That is where we get true joy, is through daily reading of the word. The word is like bread, it says in an elsewhere passage. It's like our food. If we're reading the Bible once a week, it's just like eating once a week. If we're eating once a week, we're going to wither away to nothing. Without the word, we are nothing. Also, we need to be talking to God. We need to be having a direct communication with him daily. And that's very, very important. If we could turn to John 16:24. John 16:24. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Your joy may be full. We need to ask things of Christ. We need to come boldly before the throne of grace. We need to come up there and say, "Jesus Christ, I'm having this trouble. I'm having this pain." And he knows what we're feeling because he was a man himself. Just ask, and you shall receive. It's a promise that your joy may be full. The next way we can achieve this joy, if you look in 1 Chronicles 29:9. "Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." Down to verse 17. "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee." A willing offering. An offering. What truly is an offering? Well, an offering can be many things. An offering can be monetary. An offering can be through service. An offering can be a giving of ourselves to prayer for the believers. A willing offering. That's the key. It's that we're not coerced into doing it. That we're not forced into doing it by obligation, like, "Oh, God says I have to read my Bible. Oh, I'm going to read it this morning." No, it's a willing offering. It's because we love him. It's because we want to. That's how we get that true joy, is by willingly serving God, by giving of ourselves because we love him, because we adore him. It just comes out naturally. Along the same lines, we need to sacrifice ourselves. We need to sacrifice ourselves. If you can look in Philippians 2:17. We're Bible hopping around here today. All right. Philippians 2:17. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." The Russian writer Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Joy can be real only if people look upon their life as a service and have a definite object in life outside themselves and their personal happiness." Now, I hate to quote someone, you know, might not have the same biblical beliefs, but what he's saying is true. if we're looking upon our lives just for our personal happiness, then that is not going to get us anywhere. We're not going to be truly satisfied, not truly joyful. No, we need to look outside ourselves. We need to look outside to God. We need to live a life of service to Him, because then we'll be truly fulfilled, truly joyful. And that is what can get us through the really hard times, is when we stop focusing on, oh, man, this is a really hard trial. Man, why is he always yelling at me? Why I can never do anything right? You know, why, you know, I don't have money to, you know, for this week, you know? We can look past that when we look on, when we look on Christ and we look on others. It's the classic acronym for joy. Jesus, others, you. In that order, if that's the way we're living our life, then we'll be truly, truly joyful, truly happy. Another one is trusting God in Psalm 5:11. Psalms 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. When we go through these hard times, through the trials, through the tribulations, it's a trust in God that gets us through. It's the trust in God that gives us this joy, this undescribable feeling of we're conquerors through Christ, through trust in Him, because He defends us. We'll be truly conquerors because we have the greatest defense in the world. Also, another way to get this joy that will overcome our temptations and our trials will be in Acts 20:24. So Acts 20:24. This is from when the apostles were working. With the Ephesian, Paul is meeting with the Ephesian elders. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Man, there's nothing like witnessing to someone. Telling an unbeliever about Jesus Christ is an indescribable feeling. It's something. When you're telling someone that is completely dark, completely lost, and you're leading them to the light through the Holy Spirit, and He promises to give you the words to speak in that time, it's an incredible feeling. There's nothing better than that. And also, when you see the results of that, it's even better. In Acts 15:3. Acts 15:3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. This should excite us. This should excite us when missionaries are going to other worlds. When missionaries are here in America, it should excite us when we hear about salvations. It should be nothing like it, because we know that the angels are dancing for joy in heaven, and that they're singing praises unto God. This should be something that fires us up beyond all measure. Someone once said, "When was the last time you laughed for the sheer joy of your salvation?" People are not attracted to somber doctrines. There's no persuasive power in a gloomy and morbid religion. Let the world see your joy, and you won't be able to keep them away. To be filled with God is to be filled with joy. So it's like a holy cycle. Other salvation leads to your joy. Joy is leading to other salvation. It's amazing. It's just how the Holy Spirit works. Something that also should give us joy is unity of the believers. If you can look in Philippians 2:2. Philippians 2:2. fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Later on in the chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Further in Paul's letters, in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Further on, chapter 3, verse 9. For what thanks we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. The believers, fellowship, unity, that is something we should be joying in every day. That is something that no other people can, you know, claim, that they have people from all different backgrounds, all different kinds of people united in one accord of one mind to serve Jesus Christ. That's something incredible that we have, something that we can't be taking it for granted, just coming, you know, hi everyone on Sundays, you know, but taking advantage of the universal church around the world, of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have the same mind and the same objective. That's to transcend any kind of, you know, quibbles we have over minor doctrines or church names or, you know, that when we have the essential doctrines of the, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ, we should be united as believers, as brothers for Jesus. And that should give us an incredible joy. And with these brothers, we should have brotherly love. If we can look in Philemon 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. We have great joy and consolation in thy love. Brotherly love should be unconditional. Unconditional. No matter what kind of, you know, personal conflicts we have with each other, an unconditional love for each other will create this wonderful joy. Also, singing praises to God, like we did earlier. Psalm 27:6. Look in Psalm 27:6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. There's the trials and tribulations. It can be physical, it can be mental, it can be spiritual. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. That is the kind of joy. When we sing, not worrying about who hears, no matter where we are, what time of the day is, just be singing. Singing, praising God. That's the kind of thing, you know, it's always, you know, a debate within Christian circles. Should we listen to secular music, or is it okay, you know, if they're not saying? The thing is, why? Why not just stick to the Christian music when we could be singing praises to God at all times? Well, whether we're listening to it or just in our hearts, it's just something that will keep you going through, you know, the daily grind of studying or work, just always singing praises to God, our Creator, our Savior. That really gives us true joy. Then keeping God's commandments and abiding in his love. Someone once said that obedience, that joy is the natural result of obedience. You can look in John 15. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is true joy. As I said earlier, brotherly love and keeping God's commandments. Keeping the commandments he's given for us. A lot of this world thinks that it can get joy by chasing money and fame, and it's not going to get you there. It's not. It's not going to get you true joy. It may give you happiness for a little while, but it's not going to give you a lasting, fulfilling joy. Only in obeying God's commandments. He has it planned already. He has our life, a perfect life planned for us, if we can just follow his will and do what he wants us to do. Because he has our best interest in mind. He's a loving father. He cares about us. That's why. He has a perfect will for us. And if we follow his commandments, our life won't be, you know, easy, but it definitely will be joyful. And finally, in Psalm 51:12, ask God. Simply ask God. If you're finding a really, really tough day, and you just can't get out of the dumps no matter what, you know, you got your boss yelling at you, or got your parents yelling at you, and just, you know, it doesn't seem like you can do anything right. Just ask God for that joy. Ask God, God, really having a tough day today. Would you please just lift my spirits? And he will. He will. Trust me. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. This is David crying out to God. Restore unto me the joy that I first had when I was saved. When I was saved, and I was like, yes, I'm saved from the power of sin. I'm going to heaven when I die. Just restore that unto me and uphold me with thy free spirit. Just ask God and he'll give it to you. And the question is, where should we be joyful? And the answer is everywhere. In Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God is omnipresent. So in thy presence is fullness of joy. We should be joyful all the time because God is always with us. When? All the time. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice in the word always. And again I say, rejoice. Especially after trying times. Psalm 35. We should be rejoicing, especially when things are down, because that's when unbelievers are looking at us, they're waiting for us to trip up and say, ha, I thought you were a Christian. You know, they want to catch us. They want to catch us in our words. But the thing is we need to be especially joyful in those times. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So when things are really not going good for us, that's especially the time we need to be joyful. It could be God testing us, or it could be the tempter trying to trip us up. And especially after being reproached for Jesus' sake. If we can look in Luke 6:22. Luke 6:22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Lord saying right here, this is Jesus Christ saying, blessed are ye. Blessed are you when people reject you because they're rejecting me. They're rejecting me. It's saying, blessed are you when they reject you for that. It's saying, for your reward is great in heaven. he says, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you for, you know, taking such a great stand that this is why they're reproaching you, and for being able to be joyful throughout it. It says being joyful because you're following my example. Being joyful that you're not just following the crowd and going on to perdition, on to destruction. Be joyful that you're taking a stand. Be joyful because I'm by your side. We can follow the disciples' example in this as well. If we can look at Acts 5:40. Acts 5:40, and to him that he agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And then they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So they had beaten them. They commanded them strictly that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And as soon as they let him go, they rejoiced. They were rejoicing, just like Jesus had told them to back in Luke. They were saying, thank you, God. Thank you for letting us suffer shame for your name. They counted a privilege, an honor. How often does this happen to us? Or are we like chameleons? When we just go with the crowd, say, you know, it's kind of like talk whatever they're talking about at work or school, and kind of whenever it's, you know, religion comes up, oh, I'm a Christian, you know. Why don't we take a stand? Say, I believe in Jesus Christ who died for my sins. I'm going to heaven. You know, there's no other way. How does that go over sometimes? Doesn't. The Bible's the only word of God. Jesus is God. We need to tell them this. We need to take a stand and not worry about the repercussions. We can't be worried about today. Can't be worried about tomorrow. We got Jesus Christ by our side. We need to be bold like the apostles were, not even counting our death or our life to be something would just stop us. And what are the results of having this joy? What are the results of having this incredible joy that will allow us to get through all the trials and tribulations, to be totally sold out to Christ? Well, you will end up giving all that you have for this joy. You'll give all you have for this joy. Let me tell you what I mean. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. You end up giving everything you have for that joy. Everything you have. I was reading an article this week, and it was really sad. It was talking about how far people in this world will go to try to get what they think is true happiness or true joy. There's a new drug out in Russia. It's called Crocodil. It's made from the red phosphorus off the striker portion of matchboxes, iodine, hydrochloric acid, headache tablets, and gasoline as a solvent. It's injected and it's for heroin addicts who run out of money, and it causes their skin to literally rot off their body to expose the bone. They have a life expectancy for 2 to 3 years, and even less than that. And the high only lasts 90 minutes. C.S. Lewis said, we are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant to the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. This world is lost. This world is lost. And who are we to stand here and keeping this joy to ourselves? Who are we to say, oh, okay, I'm good. You know, maybe I'll tell my, you know, my friends. Maybe I'll tell my brother or my mom and dad. But I'm not gonna go out and tell, you know, the people in the streets who have no one that cares about them. I'm not gonna go overseas and tell the people that are living in poverty, living in with a complete darkness, living in witchcraft, living in complete blindness from the gospel. We are half-hearted creatures. Once we have this joy, We'll give all we have for this joy, even our lives. And we'll want to share this with everyone. We'll want to share. This is the joy that lasts forever, not 90 minutes. This will last an eternity. This is the joy worth living for and worth dying for. It also gives us a hope. Romans 15, 13. As I said, this joy is eternal. So that now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have a hope of eternity, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of our eternity that we're going to spend with Jesus Christ. An eternal joy. This should abound into our generosity in 2 Corinthians 8:2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now that's a great juxtaposition that Paul does there, right there. Their abundance of their joy, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty. So that's what they abounded in. They didn't abound in money. It doesn't say the abundance of their wealth. It says the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. That's what really mattered. It didn't matter their abundance of wealth. It mattered the abundance of their generosity, which came from their joy. They wanted to give, give, give until they had nothing left. Even in their deep poverty, they wanted to give, give. That's what happens when a true Christian is saved and loves the Lord. He wants to tell everyone about his joy. He wants to tell everyone, this is the joy that lasts forever. This is the joy that will never run dry. But the world is convinced in their foolishness that their joy is transient happiness. In Proverbs 15:21. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. This world is convinced what they have is joy. Always hawking the newest electronic device, the newest drink, the newest, the best, the fastest, the coolest. They're always hawking something new, new, new. If you get an iPad, you end up getting the 1, 2, 3, 3G, 4, 4D, 5. I mean, it's going to be endless. You're never going to find that true thing will be like joy forever. No, it's going to last a few months until the next iPod comes out, you know? That's not real joy. Real joy is God meant for us to be eternal, to be fulfilling, and not keeping a desire for more and more and more. It's fulfilling. It completely sates the desire. Now, why should we have this joy? Well, other than the obvious fact that God tells us to in James 1:2, we should because joy is a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And because of Jesus' example in Hebrews 12:2. I'd like to turn there. So in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That was his example. What criminal in the history of the Roman Empire went to the cross with joy, saying, yes, I'm getting crucified today? Like, that doesn't even make sense to the earthly man. But right here, this was the God-man. This was the God-man who knew what he was doing, who for the true, deep, unconditional love for his fallen creatures had joy. For the obedience to his Father, he had joy. For the giving of himself, he had joy. And that should be our ultimate example, the ultimate example of completely pouring ourselves out for the ones that we love, which the number one person there should be Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, as us as Christians, we live our life with this joy sitting on our rooftop instead of dwelling in our house. Just sitting there like little birds. They're singing sweetly, but our windows are closed. We're not paying them any attention. We decide to sit ourselves in silence, yearning for music, but they're sitting on our rooftop. As Henry Ward Beecher wrote, "There are joys which long to be ours. God sends 10,000 truths which come about us like birds seeking inlet, but we are shut up to them, and so they bring us nothing but sit and sing a while upon the roof and then fly away." We should let this in. Folks, we should read this word every day, soaking in every bit of it, knowing that the Lord has given us boundless joy that we should be sharing with everyone, not shutting ourselves up to it, not becoming like one of the heathen and chasing transient happiness that will be gone like the wind, knowing that our existence is very, very short and that we should make of every moment. We should make use of every moment for the Savior. Hudson Taylor wrote, "Is the consciousness of the threefold joy of the Lord, his joy in ransoming us, his joy in dwelling within us as our Savior and power for fruit bearing, and his joy in possessing us as his bride and his delight. It is the consciousness of this joy which is our real strength. Our joy in him may be a fluctuating thing. His joy in us knows no change." So though we may not always be joying God, though we fail, though we're humans and we stumble, God will be always rejoicing in us. It's that joy that was set before him that he endured the cross because he loves us. And that'll be our true power, is knowing that he joys in us, that the angels rejoice every time a sinner comes to repentance. So may we live every day in pursuit of joying in Christ, in pursuit of when these things get so tough, realize that Jesus Christ endured the cross with joy, endured the cross. May we abide in his eternal joy today, the rest of our lives, and be willingly sacrifice our lives to share this joy with everyone, to the perishing, to the lost. Dear God, thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for giving me the words to speak. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us here would be able to realize just a little more clearly how much you truly joy in us and how much joy we should have in you for all that you've done for us, for your willing sacrifice, for willingly giving up your son, and for Jesus willingly coming and dying for us. And I pray that we would do what you told us in your word in Isaiah 12:3, that with joy we'll draw water out of the wells of our salvation. It's a well that never runs dry because you're the living water. You saved us. We thank you. And I pray that we'd always be drawing joy out of those infinite wells of salvation every day, every moment, and not be down, even when things get tough, Lord. May we truly count it all joy. In Jesus' name, amen.